I have to fight in this life. I have to do the battle that it's going to take in order to stand against the perils of this world, right? And the darts of the enemy.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Before we get started, Josiah has volunteered to open in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you are in control. Lord, you hold all of this in your hands. And Lord, I know that as we look at prophecy and what things are to come, Lord, some might fear, others might rejoice. Lord, others might simply just want to run away from it and not even look at it. But God, you've asked us to seek you when you should be found. And Lord, that's what we're doing today. Father, would you open your scriptures to us? Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. As Lord, you are speaking, open our ears so that we can hear your voice. And help us to be obedient to that, Lord. Help us to wage that war against sin and all forms of ungodliness that we might, Lord, reflect you and live lives that reflect your holiness and your kingdom and your power. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, this week we have come to the decision as a whole, as a group here, consensus that we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we volunteered Mike to do that. Take her away, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, let's, if you guys are listening, if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's start off in verse 16 and then I'll come back to verse 1. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect or whole, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in verse 1, it says, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. For of this sort are they which that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away from with diverse lusts.
Boom, there you have it.
There you go.
I don't know about you, but this seems to describe today to me, anyway.
And then so does verse 7 of chapter 3, where it says, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, Josiah, you did mention Matthew 24 when we were texting back and forth about this. And I do want to mention something, even though we're not going to dive into that today. I do want to mention something specifically, that when Jesus was asked about the sign of his coming and the end of the age, which that's a huge loaded question in itself. So good on the disciples for asking that question, because it would have been mine too. Jesus' first response, the first thing that he says, take heed that no one deceives you. And right now there are so many deceptive spirits. And we can see that over the past year with this plandemic that they had going on, the news that has been getting out. If you look at any of the major news sources, there's no truth. It's deceptive in nature. And we can go back to World War II and talk about whoever controls the media, right? Whoever controls that narrative, that's the big weapon right there. That was the big weapon talked about in World War II. And I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember who said it. And I can't even remember the exact quote, but in essence, they said that the atomic weapon is not the most powerful weapon. The most powerful weapon there is the truth. And so whoever controls the truth, and I think it was, this is terrible that I can't remember names right now. I'm getting old. My brain goes away. Winston Churchill, I believe, is one who said that the truth is so powerful that it's often safeguarded by a bodyguard of lies. And so I think we need to look at things through scripture, and that's why we have this in front of us here today, because otherwise, take heed that no one deceives you, right? It's pretty easy to be deceived. And Jesus actually says later on there that even the elect, it'll be so powerful that even the elect sometimes will be deceived. So should we dissect this one at a time here? Men will be lovers of themselves. I think that's pretty easy. Let's just open up social media.
Well, you jumped it.
Okay.
You jumped a section. It says okay. Difficult times will come in the last days. Let's talk about that.
Touche. Touche. That's perilous.
Right?
It's too perilous.
I mean, perilous, right?
Yeah, that's what the New King James says. Perilous.
Yeah, I'm difficult. Using like the...
I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think of that, right? Last days, perilous times shall come. I mean, Pastor Chuck taught, if you look at Blue Letter Bible and you pull up his commentary on this, you know, and you listen to his series, like the, I think it's the C2000 series. I mean, he taught this back, that series was what, 1979, I think, to 85. And you read his notes and he was like, we're living in those perilous times today. And you're like, oh my gosh, if perilous times was back in 1979 when I was a year old, what are we now at 43, right? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, it is just like a spiraling down of just compounding and compounding of the perilous times that we live in.
Yeah, a friend of mine, I had this discussion with a friend of mine, and he said, well, I don't think it's any worse than it used to be, you know, and I had to disagree with him. I think that I think sin is more accessible. It's more accepted. It's more tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where was it in scripture where it says that they pulled their sin with horse and cart? You guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to look that up.
Look it up.
But it talks about how they pulled their sin along with horse and cart, right? And I think it may have even been in the days of Lot. And Jesus just describes the end days that it'll be like the days of Lot and the days of Noah. And we have parades now, where they are displaying sin on horse and cart, right? It's a parade. How's that any different from today? It's really not. But I'm getting away from what we're talking about here. Perilous times.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not getting away from it, because what's the cause of these perilous times? I mean, as we continue to go on in this chapter and what we read, the cause of these perilous times are what we're bringing to the table, right? It's man's doing that are causing this. We're drifting from what God has called us to be. We're drifting from what a life that's going to reflect Christ and his holiness and a man of God who is walking in the Spirit. And it's, you look at what's happening here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, And we're going to see that these perilous times are because of what man is doing apart from God, right? We go right into it, and you mentioned it, Adam. They're lovers of themselves. So the perilous times that they might be seeing and some of the things that we're dealing with are because of that. We could see that in our own world as we look at it, right? I mean, riots are happening not because of anybody believing in a cause, or maybe there's a handful of them, but for the majority of the people out there making mayhem, they're in it for themselves. They're in it because, for them, it's fun. They have no idea what they're doing it for. They're just in it making a mess. And that is just, they're creating this trouble in our world because they're just doing what they want to do. They don't care about anyone else but themselves. And so they're going right into it, right? And it's different than what it used to be. I mean, when we think of like lovers of ourselves, you know, there might be a group of people that are, you know, fully concentrated on their body and, you know, oh, I've got to go get this nipped and tucked and, you know, this filled with Botox. And that's an aspect of it, right? When I think of myself and beautifying myself. But I also think this idea of lovers of myself is I'm putting myself up on that throne. I'm putting Josiah number one, and I don't care about anyone else. And it doesn't matter. And I'm going to pursue what I want to do, and I don't care about anyone else. And that's not a way to live. It's heartbreaking, right? Someone asked me the other day what I really like about being in law enforcement. It took me a while, right, to answer that question, because and I've only been in it for 9 years total. And I had to think, because it's changed, right? You step into it with this mindset of doing something, and you realize a lot of people don't want the help. A lot of people don't want to hear what you might have to say, or, you know, they look at it a whole lot, just totally different than what it is. Right. And so we have these two aspects of things. Like, I love community policing, right? So getting out, shaking hands and doing events and, you know, showing that the human side of police work. Right. But we don't get to do that every day. Right. And there's days that we have to go out and we have to deal with deaths, and we have to deal with the ugliness of this world. And that's hard. And I thank God that I have him to come back on, right? That foundation to fall back on, to stay focused on being sensitive to the Spirit and being guided by God to not become jaded and not to become, you know, haters of the world, right? But to understand that there's a lot of people around me who are lost and who are stuck in this idea of self-love and self-gratification. And that's not what life's about. That's not why we were created.
Yeah, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. And all that self, that, I mean, that's the definition of pride, and that's going to lead you to destruction. How I got to stop here, though, because Mike has been leaning forward. I can see it.
He's ready.
Eagerly awaiting. There's something that is burning within him that he's got to get out. And I hope it's coming out your mouth. So let me hear it.
You're forcing me to talk, bro.
I'm not forcing. I saw you lean forward expectantly, kind of like this.
Yeah. Like, I'm ready. You're right.
What's funny, but not funny, but you mentioned Papa Chuck, and I was listening to his revelation study on chapter 3. I don't know. I think it was in the 80s. I'm not sure when, but, and he was talking about whoremongers and all this stuff. And I was like, man, if he's alive today, I wonder what he would say. But, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, hey, know this, buddy. Hey, there's going to be a perilous time. It says, you know, shall come. And if you think about it, each generation goes through difficult times or perilous times. And for them, you know, they have to understand and know this because, I mean, obviously verse 1 and verse 2 chapters and all, that was inputted by, you know, humans. But in reality, it's like almost like verse 1 and verse 2 go hand in hand. Perilous shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, right? Perilous times is due to because of man's choices, of man's sins. You know, man taking Pride Month, taking God's rainbow and forcing it into their agenda. You know, difficult times. I think our generation is going through a season right now where our kids, how can I say this? Our kids are going to be accustomed, you know, wearing a mask, you know, every single day. Why are you wearing a mask outside? I don't know. I'm just used to it. Kind of. It's almost like the mask is almost, I don't want to use the word demonic, but it's demonic in the sense of it's hiding the image of God, because why, we're, as humans, created in the image of God, and then we wear a mask. Mask doesn't do anything, right? Like, I was watching Dan Bongino's program, and he was talking about, you know, terminology is COVIDiots. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, COVID stands and all this stuff. But, I mean, you and I have all seen it. When we're driving around, you see someone wearing an N95 mask with another mask over it, right? And I was at the, where was I? I was somewhere where she had two masks on and a face shield. And there's that evil element to it where it's like, wait, we're mankind is created in the image of God, right? And so Satan
hates that.
Yeah. Satan hates the image of God. So what better way to do it? I mean, Satan attacks all that he doesn't like of God, right? Satan, Lucifer, obviously he's a former worship leader up in the kingdom of heaven. What has he destroyed vehemently in our country and around the world? Music and entertainment, right? Lovers of themselves. Why? Because if Satan could draw away, the word worship comes from the old King James word called worship. We give time or worth to or value to what is important to us.
Romans 12:3.
Right? So, you know, and the word in the Greek worship is proskuneo, right? To bow down and to kiss. And so, you know, I've seen an advertisement of like, you know, cut the line of what, cable? And go stream Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, and all the other stuff. Satan would love more than anything else to draw away, you know, believers away from God, pushing people away from the Word of God and church. I mean, look at what the scamdemic did to churches last year. It shuttered how many churches? You know, hundreds. And I've heard ridiculous numbers where hundreds of churches are not going to come back. You know, Satan's battle is great. The Word of God is not being taught. You know, and in that last days, tying into this is, there's that element of, man, if I can get humans to be lovers of themselves, Paul telling Timothy how many years ago, hey buddy, know this, difficult, perilous times are gonna come, you know. And that's why I want, you know, maybe I'll jump in ahead with you guys, is men shall be lovers of themselves. You know, and I've heard a lot of pastors say this. You know, back in the 70s was the People, what 60s and 70s, World Magazine, then it was People Magazine. Then it was Us Magazine. then it was Self magazine, right? And some of the younger generations that's probably listening to this, what's a magazine? It's a piece of paper that you turn, you know. But basically, it's the downgrade of let's take our attention away from God and fully unto man, you know. And I mean, look at how many kids on TikTok and on Snapchat, on Instagram and Facebook were just looking for the likes. How many likes did I get today?
What do we call them? Influencers?
Yeah. Something like that.
Right?
All right, I'll let you guys jump in. Thanks,
Adam. Well, and I threw out Romans chapter 12, verse 3 when you were talking. Paul would say in Romans, he says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, comma, not to think of himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith," right? And you were talking about worship and what's our self-worth and right. The world is all about thinking of myself more higher than anyone else, right? Like, I mean, we see it in our line of work, right? That, oh, well, I've got the most traffic stops and I've got, I mean, okay, great for you, right? Like, awesome. We should be doing those things. That's our job, right? I mean, but we end up becoming and pushing ourselves thinking like, oh yeah, I'm better than you and I'm better than you. And this has crept into the church, mm-hmm. right? Where you know, like, oh, I have to, you know, it's a battle on how many people I have, you know, liking my 1 minute message or my, you know, sermons on that I post on Facebook, or, you know, how many people are sitting in the pews of my church. And well, my church is bigger than your church. I mean, I've been to enough pastors' conferences where that's the main focus is how big is your church? It doesn't matter how big my church is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if I go back to when Moses was, when Jethro, his father-in-law, told him, hey, you're doing too much. Like, you need to find some, and he gave out these qualifications of these men. And it says Moses put some over 5 and some over 1,000. And you know what the neat thing was? They all had the same qualifications. But God chose and said, you know what, this guy, Josiah, he's going to do great with just 5 men. And Mike, he's going to do great with 1,000. But these both, and Adam, 10,000, right? But they all have the same qualifications. It's not a battle. It's God has gifted each one and every one of us with a measure of faith, with an ability to do things, but we have to honor him. And this is what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's like, hey, perilous times are coming because people are going to be lovers of themselves, mm-hmm. right? Warning him, don't be a lover of yourself, be a lover of God, and let that, you know, be the driving force of what you do from now on, how you move forward. Because we go from lovers of self right into what? Lovers of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think we need to back up for just a second, because we kind of skimmed over the term last days. And that's my bad. Last days began at Pentecost, right? Last days began when Jesus ascended into heaven, and then came Pentecost. And biblically speaking, we would describe last days as the days since then. And that can kind of confuse things a little bit until we hear Jesus say that these are like birth pains, right? In Matthew 24, Jesus compares these things to birth pains. Now, I've never had a kid, thank God. But I have been there to see the goings on. Full disclosure, when my wife did have our kid, dude, I can stand blood all day long. That made me lightheaded. Anyway, so birth pangs get closer together and they get more intense as you get closer to the actual birth, right? Tachos. Right, the Greek word tachos, where we get our term for tachometer is when it's increasing its revolutions.
I want tacos now.
I want tacos right now.
I know. That's what I was like. What?
Wait. Jesus talked about tacos? I knew it.
Oh.
We eat more tacos as the end time draws nearer.
Okay? Sorry.
So
daily tacos.
I've
new podcast idea. Tacos. The perfect taco. So, getting back on track here. So what we're talking about is that we see these things closer together, closer in intensity. Jesus talks about earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom. And the term that he uses there, and I'm getting into Matthew 24, even though we weren't going to, the word he uses there is ethos, ethnicity, ethnicity against ethnicity. Have we ever seen it as bad as it is right now? I mean, I haven't because I didn't grow up in the 60s, you know, but, and this is all media driven. Be sure that you are not deceived. And here we are living in the last days, and we have been for 2,000 years. The birth pains are getting closer, closer together. And I dare say you can barely even measure the time between the birth pains anymore. That for me is a huge indicator of where we are as far as the end times go. Go ahead, Josiah. Your mouth is ready. I see it.
It is. Well, no, what I wanted to say in that is it's only going to get worse. And I think a lot of us have this mentality that, oh no, it's going to get better, right? Like the times are going to get better. We're going to make it through. And you know, every time I look at my Bible and I read what I have in front of me and I hear what God is speaking, it's only going to get worse, right? In order for the stage to be set for the Antichrist to come on and to create this make-believe picture of what peace is going to be, to where then he can control and go into the temple and say he is God. So we have this idea that it is only going to get worse. So what do we do in the times that we have right now?
Oh, you're getting ahead of me, bro. You're getting ahead of me now.
I know I am, but but it's because of where we're at, right? So this is why we're doing what we're doing. This is why we're dissecting these scriptures, not to freak anyone out and to give them a false sense of hope, but to bring hope and to get our listeners and ourselves back to the focus of who Christ is, not on the things of this world, not on being lovers of ourselves or lovers of the things that we can acquire in this world, but to fully focus on what God has called us to do, so that he's on our throne and that he's being praised and that he's being honored in our life, because that's what matters. And I mean, if we go into it, the rapture of the church and all of that, right? Thank God that we're not children of his wrath and that we're not going to have to see the worst of the worst. And yet we're seeing what we're seeing in these days. And these are perilous times in the last days.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we could sum all these up really with the root of pride. And I think it was John that talked about the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If not pride, these can all be at least summed up with those three things. Those are the three things that cause us to sin. So let's read through this again real quick. For men will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. I can think of some of those in the highest offices in our country right now. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. This one makes me sick because I'm seeing it in our churches. I'm seeing it in the massive mainstream churches. and it's just now starting to come out, and the rest of the world is seeing that, and it's put given the church a black eye, which the church isn't perfect, but when our leaders live lives that they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power, and not only do they deny its power, but they live in complete contrast to what godliness is and to what God would have a leader of the church be. And that part makes me sick. And we're seeing that even more and more and more. You talked about church size, Josiah, and you made me think about A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer was one of the greatest theologians who ever lived, and he had a very small church, very small church. And yet some of his writings, I study now, and it just blows my mind because the man had such a close relationship with God. That was not godliness without denying its power. That was godliness promoting its power and living out that power. We don't see that as much today. And in fact, I think we've seen a big separation of the sheep and the goats over the past year with all the racial division, with all the COVID junk and everything else. I think it has really, the wheat and the chaff have been separated, and we're seeing the dying church right now. It's terrifying.
Man, I don't know if you guys saw Victor Mark's post. Speaking of having a form of godliness, I'm not too familiar with Maverick Music. I know who they are. I know they write worship songs. And I guess one of the worship leaders got married and posted some, I would say, stupid pictures.
I can't even hold that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the ring finger junk and the I saw it.
I don't know what this is, you know, whatever. But you know, guys like Victor Marx is calling out church leaders, whether they be pastors or worship pastors, you know, and it's having a form of godliness and having no power thereof. You know, I've been in the ministry now doing worship and all kinds of ministry for well over 25 years. I've seen a lot of stuff, you know. I think what I'm about to say might step on some toes, but yes, it might reveal some stuff.
Yes.
You know, when Pastor Chuck... encouraged John Wimber to leave. And those of you that might not know the church history with Calvary Chapels and Vineyard Christian Fellowship, most, if not all, of the Vineyard Christian Fellowships were former Calvary Chapels where Pastor Chuck encouraged Pastor John Wimber, if you want to focus more on the emotions, you can change your name. He even gave the name, you know, Vineyard Christian Fellowship, and hence that came forth. And, you know, a lot of great worship music came out of the Vineyard movement, you know, that was mixed with Calvary Chapel. But in that, you see a lot of other birthing of worship music that was, it's just very emotional, emotionally driven. And you got the Bethels, you got the Maverick City, you got Elevation Church, you got Hillsong's kind of old news now. But this worship leader that Victor Marx posted of getting married, you know, holding his, you know, new spouse in such a way, I was just like, wow, it just lost me, you know. And you go to some of these, you watch some of these worship services online, or you go to them, it's like almost like a light show. You know, who's got the latest and greatest?
It's no different than going to a rock concert.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, Josiah's been there at Bible college events, you know, where you'll have a semi-decent worship leader who's just singing a simple song on a guitar or on a piano, and everybody's got their eyes closed and they're raising their hands and just worshiping. You know, and it's not about the worship team or the worship leader. It's about Jesus, you know, and it's sad because when you go to a lot of these churches now, it's like, it's all entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Mike, you just reminded me of an old school song where it says, with our hands lifted high, right? Remember that song? And the world will wonder why. We'll just tell them that we're loving our King. Mm-hmm. It's not about ourselves. Again, it goes back to who's the center of our attention, who's the center of our heart, who's the center of the stage. The one thing I love about Revelation, right? In the first couple chapters, Christ in the center of all those churches.
Yeah, walking right? amongst the candlesticks. Yeah.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. because that's what it's about. Christ-centered. That means all my focus, all my heart, all my life is focused on Him. Apart from Christ, I am no good. I was witnessing to a neighbor of mine. We were talking about this, and he was like, "Man, you've raised good kids, and you seem to have everything put together." And I said, "I'm a wicked man." "No, you're not. You're good." Well, my goodness is not going to get me anywhere, right? The goodness that you see in my sons' lives, it's not because they're so great. It's because Christ is the center of their life. The goodness in my life, why it looks like things are put together, it's because Christ is the center. If I remove Christ from that, the walls fall in, right? I lose focus. I start to allow sin into my life, and I get depressed, and I'm overburdened, and I'm out of control, and I'm, you know, eating too much or working too much, and I'm indulging in things that I shouldn't be indulging in, because what happened? Christ is now not the center of my focus or my life, and now it's myself, and self is out of control, right? It's not in control, and it happens in our worship services. It happens in our churches. There's what's making you sick is that there's no difference between the outside of the church walls and the inside of the church walls. Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. And we're getting away from simply teaching the word of God, because this is what changes lives. This is what will bring us back to center and bring us back to the focus of Christ. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy here. Because if you continue reading on, and please do, you'll see that he encourages Timothy, saying, "You've held true to the teachings that I've given you, right? You've been faithful to the calling upon your life from a child. Don't drift from that. Don't drift from your beginnings, right? The humble beginnings." And I feel like we are drifting from those beginnings, from those simple times of just, as Mike said, just let's just worship God. Let's go back to the, you know, and what's wrong with that? I was talking to my dad, cause he led worship, and he's not the best worship leader, right? He learned to play guitar, just recently, but he has a heart that he has shown me growing up of a lover of Jesus. And when he grabs his guitar and he leads men in worship, that's what he's doing. He doesn't care about the people in the room. He is worshiping God. And people are like, "Man, this is so great." Like, you know, again, like Mike said, just raising your hands and in the presence of God, because that's what it's about, right? You're worshiping, you're professing your love for who he is and not yourself. And amen. Let's have a service like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to chime in, you know, the form of godliness and not having the power thereof. I wonder how many of us that are listening to this, or how many of us that we know that wear the badge, that wear the uniform, they say they're Christian, but they have no effectiveness of Christ in them. You know, I've had so many, I mean, it's been easier for me, and I'm sure for Josiah as well. Oh, you're a man of the cloth. You're a preacher. There's that expectation now for us to be walking in Christ, to be Christ-like. For example, I know tons of cops, tons of firefighters, tons of soldiers. They see they're Christians, and their mouth is a sewage, you know? And, you know, I was appalled when I was at LA City and other agencies where I'm like, wait, I saw you at church the other day. And then all of a sudden, out of their mouth, it's like a, you know, a broken dam, you know, of just foul language. And I'm just like, how will people know that you're a Christian if you talk like that? You know? And, you know, just like you mentioned Romans 12 earlier, right? We're to be a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And so I wonder how many of us that wear the badge and wear the uniform, and we wonder, hey, I'm a Christian, but how come my witness is ineffective? Right? I wonder what's coming out of our mouths. I wonder, you know, what's going into our minds is coming out of our mouths. And it's like, I think I was texting with one of you guys where cops are skeptical, right? They're skeptical people. I think cops and firefighters, soldiers, we know when someone is, you know, something's kind of fake. How can we be effective as members of the, you know, being in the thin line if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, if we're not empowered by the Spirit of God? Just say, like you were saying, like we're not in the Word of God. You know, I believe it was Zig Ziglar who said, you are who you are and you are where you are because of what goes into your mind. And I think a lot of Christians don't allow the Word of God to go into our minds. You know, we're listening to the Oprahs. We're listening to the YouTubers. We're listening to the latest, greatest influencer, you know?
Absolutely. Amen to that. Looking for pleasures in this world when Psalm 16:11 says that your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Like, you want to know what life is and what real pleasure is, then get into your word and get to know who God is. He has said he will give us everything we need. And I mean, just that verse alone is, as Mike was just saying, like we're looking to so many different things to find pleasure in this world when God tells us that the right hand, at his right hand, are pleasures forevermore. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to move us into the last phase of our discussion here because I'm going to change direction a little bit.
Let's do it.
We're talking about the era we're living in, and it's important to know the era we're living in. I look at, I've just changed my view on this. I look at getting into the Word and my devotional time as showing up for briefing, because we're at war. And if I don't know my enemy, if I don't know the intelligence that's been gathered in this book right here, I'm not going to know how to fight the enemy. We have strategies for every single call that we go to. We have strategies for whether it's a high-risk search warrant, an HRT, whatever it is, we have trained for it, and we have certain protocols. We have tactics, okay? We have tactics that we use depending on what call we're facing. The spiritual world is no different. I have different battles that I face every day. And if I don't show up for briefing in my devotional time with God the Father, I'm not going to know how to fight that battle. So if you're not doing your devotionals, if you're not getting into this Word, you're going to war without having been briefed on who our enemy is, okay, and how to fight that enemy. So I think it's of utmost importance that you show up for that briefing every day. That's a little cop talk for you. Now, we talked about the church. And when we talked about that, I got this image in my head of the world. Have you ever seen those time-lapse videos of a dead critter being consumed, being, what's the word I'm looking for? Decomposed by flies and maggots and all these nasty things, right? You see this creature that's died, and then very quickly if it's time lapse, but it's slow, and over time that thing disintegrates. It looks like it's being disintegrated, but it's actually being eaten, right? And it's becoming part of the soil again. I see that as the world. You know, science says that everything goes from order to chaos. We're nearing the end of that chaos, right? Everything comes to an end at some point. So what started out as order when God created everything, chaos began when sin entered the world. And for the past, some say 6,000 years, however many years it's been, we have slowly seen the decomposition of all things of the world. Jesus came. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. So suddenly we have what was made dead by the world turned into life. And for some reason, our churches want to bring those flies into the church building because we want to look more like the world and be more appealing to the world. But what they don't see is the spiritual side of that, where it's decomposing. And you want to bring that into the church? I want life in my church. I want life in me. And so my calling, my assignment, when I go to briefing, my assignment is to bring life into the world. I'm supposed to go and shoo those friggin' flies away. I'm going to get rid of that death. And how do we do that? It's not through weakness. We talked a little bit before we got started in this podcast today. Weak Christianity has been pushed on us. And this is not a weak assignment. This assignment is for warriors. This assignment is so that we can take the word of God that defeated death. God is a warrior. Jesus describes himself as meek. We talked about that recently. As it's more symbol of that horse, that Mustang, right? That has been broken. Broken in this case by God. Okay? So it's this massive power that is under the control of God. And you and I are supposed to be that as well. We have such massive potential in us through the Holy Spirit. And if we come and we show up for briefing, we know how to control that. Because God put that in us. And he's sending us out to this war that's being fought every single day. So we can show up in the war. We don't have a choice, okay? We're in the middle of that war. We can show up and die. We can become collateral damage. We can be in the way. Or we can go out and we can get on the front lines and we can fight. Because God created us to be warriors. Okay, Exodus 15:3. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And Mike, ever since you found this verse, it's stuck in my head. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Amen.
We don't serve a God of pessimism, of surrender. When we surrender to him, he puts his warrior spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. God is a God of war, and we're in the midst of it. And then, you know, to further point out where we're at right now, this was written to the church at Sardis, okay? These things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. That is horrifying. So I see that decomposing body. And that's forever etched in my brain now. But I also want to take us to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. So in light of the times that we live in, all the more we have to be men of violence, spiritual violence. I'm not saying go around punch everybody in the face, but I'm not saying that either. Sometimes we got to be warriors. Sometimes we have to be merciful. Sometimes we have to be full of grace. Sometimes we have to be soft and soft-spoken. But we have to carry a big stick.
Well, we need to stop apologizing for life, right? We need to stop apologizing for speaking the truth. We speak the truth in love because if I didn't care for you and I didn't love you, then I would let you live your life and indulge yourself in the sins of this world. You're going to hell. If I didn't love you, go for it. Have fun. But it's because I love you. It's because we love you. It's because we care that we speak the truth. And the truth sometimes hurts. You're a sinner. You're wicked. You think of yourself only. And you need Christ. Right? Christ is the answer to that. Christ will save you from hell, from a life of self-indulgence. It will give you purpose and hope, and you need to come to that. And I can't water that truth down. Just as I was witnessing to my neighbor, he's like, but I'm good. And your goodness, all the good that you did, great. Awesome. Right? You didn't miss the mark. You still can't get to heaven on that. All the good that I do, that won't get me to heaven. Only what I do with Christ will get me to heaven. Only accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and understanding that he gave his life, he paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have life, that we could have hope, that we could have this fighting spirit and fighting chance in these last days. He knows what's coming. And he saved us from that. We just need to accept it. We need to turn from our wicked heart and our self-indulgence and the, you know, this form of godliness without its power. We need to come back to the source of the power and the strength and the love. And then, as Adam, you said, show up, right? Show up. Do your job. Live a life that's going to reflect Christ. Stop living a watered down, lukewarm life. It gets us nothing. Revelation would tell us that God will vomit us out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Right? It's disgusting.
Yeah. And I only have one more thing on my mind. You don't show up to briefing alone. You show up with your team. These guys here on my podcast, this podcast, not my podcast, our podcast here, this is my team. And I have a few others as well. I don't go into battle by myself. That's foolishness. You don't even go into a room clearing by yourself. You enter a room by yourself, that's foolishness. So get your people. Mike, you were taking a breath in to talk when I talked.
You guys are mentioning Revelation, and you know, I'm looking at that book not in the light of prophecy or prophetic things. I've been looking at that book just to, you know, like John, who was on the island of Patmos, who received revelation of Christ. You know, and when you read chapters 2 and 3, it's church history, right? And each church has its own lessons. But when you read chapters 2 and 3 and you read it as a whole, for the Christian, there's a lot of things that just like, Lord, man, please forgive me. I have dropped the ball for being lukewarm. Oh, please forgive me, because why? You know, when Jesus says, hey, I know your works. I know your labor, right? And it's like, repent, redo. And there's a lot of things in each of the churches, not only for, you know, my opinion of churches. Yeah, a lot of churches and a lot of pastors piss me off because I think they're shooting blanks and whatnot. But a lot of times it's really, I'm looking at those chapters. I'm like, that's me. There's areas of weaknesses that I need to strengthen, you know, like Adam, you were mentioning briefing and you go to, you know, clearing a room. You exercise and train. Why? To find out your weaknesses. You know, I used to watch UFC religiously back in the day. Not anymore because it's too expensive. You know, but the guys that train and train and train, why do they do that? So they can find vulnerabilities and weaknesses, you know? And I mean, when I get to heaven, one of the replays, if God will allow, that I want to see is when Jesus goes into the temple and starts flipping tables, right? I'm like, he's like flipping tires. He's CrossFitting right there, you know?
Making and, a whip.
Right?
That and, he makes with his hand.
Right? So, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of pastors these days make Jesus and Christians to be soft and weak. Oh, we must cower. You know, we all know that verse out of Psalm 144, right? Lord, teach my hands to, you know, battle, to war. You know, Exodus, hey, man of war. And in looking at Revelation 2 and 3, what's interesting is in chapter 1, when John heard the voice, he churned. He churned. And I think a lot of people that hear us or hear a pastor, a message, God's standing at the door and knocking, hey, open the door. And Jesus will never force himself. Because why? The door handles on the inside, right? And he who opens the door, I will come in and dine. I will sup with him. And I think, you know, sorry, Adam, you were talking about tacos the last day's time, right? But I'm talking about tacos, right? Taco Tuesday. The one thing that Jesus, in my opinion, loved doing was eating. You know, whenever he went to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, even though Martha was a worker bee, she probably cooked some really good food.
Probably fish tacos, though, right?
Fish tacos.
Mm.
Kosher, right?
Yeah.
And God's desire is that he wants to come in and dine with us. And we forget that, you know? Adam, I wish you were here. There was a time when Josiah and I met at a coffee house. We were there, I think, like 4 hours. And I don't know how much coffee we drank.
A lot.
It was a lot of coffee, you know? But that's the sweet fellowship and communion that I believe Jesus wants to have with his, you know, his people, you know? And what's that movie? It's a cartoon movie where it's a robot, very little words. And everybody's in this world bubble with people movers, and they just got really chunky.
Wally,
right? A lot of Christians are exactly that.
And my kids are 21 and 19, and I remember Wally Adams should be the one knowing what that movie was.
Right?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
No, it's a great, great
movie. It's a good movie. Okay. It's almost prophetic because that's church.
It's Disney. It's Disney. My daughter says Disney brainwashes you. So.
That is true.
Well taught.
Sorry, the church. You know, go on, Mike.
What I'm saying, you know, we're in the front lines. And then, you know, as Christians, there are so many Christians that get fed podcasts, Bible studies with technology today. They're listening to Pastor Chuck, all these other preachers. And they're just getting fed, and they're not exercising that at all. They're not exercising their faith, you know? And, you know, that in that movie, Wally, it's just like, you're just a spiritually obese Christian, you know? And I'm afraid that when we're called to battle, they're so out of shape and out of, you know, line and experience that they don't know what to do, you know? And in Revelation 2 and 3, as I've been kind of parked there just reading devotionally, because it's amazing how each, you know, it says to the angel or the angelos, the messenger, right, the pastor to whatever church, you know, there is a compliment or an exhortation. And then there's, you know, a criticism or and then a correction that comes. And I think there's a spiritual element that we as believers, as we read that, you know, that needs to change. Like on today's hot day, who likes a lukewarm cup of water, right? And I think, Josiah, you mentioned it, where, you know, either be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. You know, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And in these last days, we need men and women that are in uniform, that are standing tall for Jesus Christ. You know, because how many of us know men and women in uniform walked away from Christ or the church because they blame a human? Because for example, if that's what it means to be a Christian, then I don't want to be a Christian.
And what do we miss out from that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Yeah. There it is. You're talking about Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and how Christ is coming and he's with love and compassion, and he's digging out the evil and the lukewarmness and the death in our life, right? And he's saying, hey, focus back on me, because what's going to happen in chapter 4? You enter into the throne room of God. We finished the race. We have made it, and he's preparing us. And how sad that we as humans, and where God has put us. I mean, God has placed us in days of where we're at, in such a time as this, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece, right? To go in there and, as Adam said, show up to briefing, get the news, and now apply it, right? Go out and take what you've heard and do it, and tell people, and look for the things that are being brought forth, so that what? That all of us could get to Revelation chapter 4, right? So that all of us can be in that throne room worshiping the Almighty God, saying, holy, holy Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. I mean, that's where we're going. And he wants to prepare our hearts, and he wants to prepare us for that. We don't need to apologize to this world for that, right? We get to stand strong in the fact that we have a hope. As bad as it gets, there is a hope. No matter what comes into my life or what I hear about, there's a hope. And that hope is that one day I'll see my Savior face to face. But I have to fight in this life. I have to do the battle that it's going to take in order to stand against the perils of this world, right? And the darts of the enemy to withstand and to finish this race, as Paul did, and as many of men and women that we know. And I want all of you to be in that throne room with us, worshiping God. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're preaching and teaching, and why we're focusing on this, especially in the last days. And I love that, Mike, that you would, you know, I mean, what a great place to be camped out, right? And an encouragement for me, as you just spoke, just, you know, what are those things that God is saying, listen, mm-hmm. right? You have an ear, then listen and do. I want to do a work in you. I want your focus back to be me and be Christ-centered, and in my worship and in my words and in my actions and in my job, that when I'm done, right, and Lord moves me on or keeps me, that people will see Christ, and that is it.
Yep. So listen, I think I'll draw us to a close here. I know we're speaking to a lot of weary warriors, weary men and women to begin with, but also weary warriors who have been doing spiritual battle for so long that they're almost like our soldiers in World War II in the Pacific, just weary. come back to your life source. Come drink the waters of life and be replenished in the word.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We love you, we praise you, we lift your name, because it's your name that brings us to victory. Lord, you are already victorious. Now we're just dealing with a headless snake slashing all over the place, trying to take as many people as you can with him. You said that you created hell not for us, but for the devil and his angels. And as we are walking through this life, we're learning that we have that choice. We have the choice to go to hell, and it is a choice. We ask that our listeners would come to a saving knowledge of the things that your son did for us, that he would be accepted, that they would repent, and that they would have a relationship with you, Lord, and that they would choose life today. That is the entire point of this podcast, Lord, and we ask that you would bless those who hear it, that you would give us the strength and the courage to speak truth in these end times, as well as our listeners, that they would speak that truth in turn. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Guys, enjoy your super hot day over there. Listeners, hey, do me a favor. If anybody's listening to this and you want a sticker, send me an email with an address. I'll send you a sticker. Also, check out the apparel, thinlinebelievers.com. We are trying to raise some money. We haven't put it all on blast yet, but we are trying to raise some money for some good friends of mine in chaplaincies. So if that's something you'd like to help us out with and get some cool swag in return, let us know. I'm not sure if I'll post this video or not, but if I do, here's one of the hats. You got a nice trucker hat with the thin line cross on there. So let me know. Otherwise, prayer requests and everything else, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and email, thinlinebelievers.com. Or thinlinebelievers, sorry, @gmail.com. Guys, nothing? Good to go?
Good to go.
All right. God bless y'all. Have a good week.